Well, good evening. God bless you. It's a great honor to be here. As Pastor Tucker said, I have been called late to the teaching ministry. And after this morning, I'm crying out to God to be made not just a teacher of righteousness, but a tree of righteousness. Amen. Wasn't that very precious? Amen. Well, Pastor Tucker sent me an email while I was teaching in Latin America and asked me to come and share. He says, some choice situations which might be interesting. Just want to say that I went to college to become a Presbyterian minister to the university. And I met my wife to be there, and we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everything changed. And the deadness of the Presbyterian church suddenly became irrelevant, and I didn't go to the seminary, but I went instead to Elam Bible Institute in Lima, New York. And there I met the Tuckers, the Gazaways, Paul Karam, Eldon and Lois Kropp. And in 1967 and 1968, I went to Alabama and got married and came back. And we were there for one semester, the semester that the Baileys were there. And my wife took every class that the Baileys taught, both him and her. Then when they left to go overseas and at the beginning of 1969, there was really nothing there left for us because they had the words of eternal life and others not so much. So we left and we went to a couple of different schools, Pinecrest and there with the Gazaways and Pastor Paul Karam. After 1969, we had the draft, or for those from Latin America, the national conscription for military service. I had a ministerial deferment, but I wasn't in the ministry, and there was no place of ministry, and I wasn't going into the ministry. Some people wanted to send me to Africa, but I knew that that wasn't God's will. So I surrendered this ministerial deferment and immediately got reclassified to 1A, which is the highest, and got sent for a induction physical into the Army. So the Baileys were overseas, and the only people we had to take counsel with were the Gazaways. And I can remember being in Elmira and telling them what our decision was going to be, and Marion said that she had a prophetic word. She says, this is God's bridge to get you from one place to another. And that was really comforting, and I really appreciated that. I've never forgotten that. And so about this time, the Lord spoke this scripture to me in Isaiah chapter 51, not to me, but to my wife and me. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the pit of the from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. And this, he spoke specifically about this, that we, that Pastor and Sister Bailey were to be our spiritual father and spiritual mother. We had been through some crisis, and somehow or other I got in touch with them for wisdom. And as soon as I explained the problem to them, immediately he gave the wisdom in the situation, and we knew that that was what we were supposed to do. So I applied to the U.S. Air Force and went into helicopter training and was commissioned as an officer and flew for a year in Southeast Asia and in the Vietnam conflict. And my roommate there was a Christian. And in Thailand, we went down to Bangkok and we met up with the Baileys. We corresponded and we met up with the Baileys, and they had just come in from a flight from somewhere, and we met them at midnight on the tarmac in Bangkok airport and went to the conference with them and sat under their ministry. And he's mentioned that to me several times. So this is how he reminded me of that experience. This is how I wound up in the Air Force instead of in the ministry. So in the 1973 era to 1980, we were based in Utah and California, and they were at World Map. And so we kept in close touch with them and took our kids to the World Map camp meetings, and they dedicated all of our children. And I would bring this up to him from time to time. I would say, look, you know, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to keep doing what I'm doing in the Air Force? And what, you know, what exactly? So once Pastor Bailey was in Indonesia, and he came back, and he said, "Oh, Mike, while I was over there, I was praying for you, and God spoke to me, and he gave me this vision of courses." And my wife gets very animated when she remembers this, because he was. He said, "I had this vision of courses, and God has put you in a course, and you're to stay in that course. And then I saw a little change, and then there's another course, and you're to stay in that course." And he said, "And you know," he said, I've understood that this applies to everybody." And he says, "I've preached this all over the world." And I looked for a scripture that I could find to talk about this. And I thought about Paul's saying where, you know, "I finished my course." But really that word in the Greek means the race. But this course is talking about a fixed path where the planets orbit around a celestial body. They stay in a fixed path. And it means, this Hebrew means, a word means a thoroughfare, a causeway, a highway, a path. And so God has a path for each of us, and that changes from time to time. And then he sets us on a new course. In the 1980s, we were based in the United Kingdom. We lived in the Suffolk, England, and the Baileys were coming to London. And so we gathered the family together and went down to London to meet them, and we met up with them on in Grosvenor Square, where the American embassy is. And Beth was really small, and Pastor Bailey bounced her on his knee. And then we went out for tea, and while we're having tea, Pastor Bailey said to me, I have a word to you from the Lord." And he said, it's not from the Bible. He said, "It's from Shakespeare." And he said, "And this is the word that's coming to me." He said, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts." And then he said, "And this is the word that I have for you. It's this: one man in his time plays many parts." And that was a great word of comfort to me, because it said that I wasn't always going to be in the Air Force, that God had everything under control. He had everything was planned out. He had everything all lined out, and I could just relax and rest in him. After my 20 years in the Air Force, then I was set on a new course, and I was an airline pilot for a while. And then when I reached the mandatory retirement age for airline pilots, I sort of got sovereignly put into a position flying business jets. And going from a pilot in the airlines to a pilot flying business jets is a different world. The only thing they have in common is that they have an airplane together. The schedule was 7 days on and 7 days off, and we packed for 7 or 8 days, and we got in the back of an airliner on day one, and we flew to the city where the last crew had left the airplane, and we never knew where that was until the day before, and we got there. Sometimes we'd have to take a cab to a small little airport, get the airplane ready, take the airplane, and move it somewhere else, usually for a position with passengers the next day. And it wasn't a particularly fun job, but it was physically and mentally exhausting. And so I, after a couple of months, I said to myself, what am I doing in this job? What am I doing here? And I had enough sense to know that if you get into position with God, you don't just jump out until you have a word from the Lord. Well, Paul and Betsy Karam came down to the house, and they spoke at the little church. And as he was speaking, Paul Karam shared this verse, and that's Isaiah chapter 52, verse 12. We've known each other since 1967, so. And this is the verse: "For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." And he said, this is why some people don't make it in God. Because they get into a hard position and they say, "Oh, this is too hard," so they jump out. And I thought, you know, this is a word to me. I need to take heed to this. Stars don't get out of their orbit, but sometimes people do. And so I endured. And then a few months later, my good friend Daniel Gasaway came down and sat down beside me and that bench right over there. And he leaned over and said, "Mike, the Lord spoke to me this morning. I have a word from the Lord for you." And the word is, remain at your post. Now, this is a military term, and it means you stay where you are in the position until you've been relieved from duty by your commander, or your replacement has arrived and you're set free. And in the military, abandoning your post is a chargeable offense. Now I was really in a hard position. I really couldn't get out of this. And I mean, I wasn't trying to, but I just want you to understand how clear God made this. So I'm in the most demanding position I've ever been in my life. The pressure is just tremendous. And now I'm between a word from Pastor Karam and a word from Pastor Gasaway. And this is what that looks like. Now, everybody thinks that aviation is glamorous, that it's just wonderful. But it really depends on where you're sitting. I'm glad you're laughing. Because I was dying. And the pressure in this job was unrelenting. And if you can picture a great big tube of toothpaste, the giant size with two hands on it, squeezing as hard as you can squeeze. That's how I felt in this position. And there's nowhere to go. I can't quit. I can't say adios because that's a chargeable offense. And so the only thing I can do is cry out to God. And that was the purpose. The Lord tailor-made this trial for me. Other guys might not have had this difficulty. A lot of guys did. But that was his purpose, for me to cry out to God. And believe me, I did. And it started on the day before I had to go out. And it started in the morning in the hotel room. And then it was during the day, during the flights. One time, through just fatigue and lack of sleep, we took off one morning at O-Dark 30, and I got in the air and we had an altitude deviation. Now, normally, if I had been alert, we'd have caught this and it wouldn't have been a problem. So I heard those famous words that you never want to hear from a air traffic controller: call this telephone number when you get on the ground. And so out of that, I got a deviation from the air traffic control people and a letter of warning from the FAA and a letter of reprimand from my company. And this probably was the lowest I've ever been in my professional life. And all I could do is just say, God, Lord, have mercy upon me. There's nowhere else to go. Lord, have mercy upon me. And I learned the truth of Psalm 78. Verse 19, the Lord had spoken to me many years ago in a flying situation. And if you read this psalm, it's about the children of Israel failing miserably in their trial in the wilderness. And I turned that into a positive and said, oh God, prepare for me, Lord, a table in the wilderness. Prepare me, Lord, for the table in the wilderness. Now, this might be an interesting story to somebody about airplanes, but it's not really about airplanes. It's about staying in the place where God has put you and persevering through patience and endurance and crying out to God. When I finished my course, that is, the company went out of business and I was furloughed and I was released from duty. And looking back on this, I can say with the psalmist in Psalm 66, 11 and 12, you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads. But we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a rich place of fulfillment. In the deepest part of the trial in 2007, I called Pastor Bailey, and I said, I just tried to explain to him what I was going through, and that there's no recourse except just to go to God. I just wanted to hear a word of hope. And he gave me Psalm 45, verse 4. And he says, "In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth, meekness, and righteousness." And I, when he said that to me, of course, I wrote it down and was a good son. I said, yes, sir, okay, I've got it, thank you. And I hang up the phone and I said, "Brother, we're on a different frequency, because that is not what's happening in my life." But you know, at the end, when I looked back and I saw God's mercy and his grace, and I could see that he did that in me as I persevered. And I could say, "Lord, you, that's the very thing that you did. That through perseverance, you caused me to ride prosperously." So this testimony is to give you hope that if an old guy like me can be recycled and repurposed, there's hope, seriously, there's hope for everybody. And revival is going to come. James tells us that revival is coming, and it's going to be far greater than anything that we can understand or comprehend. And there'll be things going on in revival that we can't really understand right now. But if we stay in the course that God has put us in, and if we learn to cry out to God and say, "Lord, prepare for me a table in the wilderness," because with the revival is coming persecution, and the solution is going to be cry out to God and go his way. By staying in the courses that God puts us in and being faithful and enduring, then this word that Pastor Bailey gave me so many years ago from Shakespeare will be true not just for me, but for all of us. And one man in his time plays many parts. God bless you.